This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Perfectly clear when you're a guest in my home. You gotta come to me empty-handed. I said no gifts, your presence is presence enough. And I already had too much stuff. So how do you dare disobey?
Welcome to I Said No Gifts. I'm Bridger Weiniger. Here we are. We're in the backyard, of course. What's going on? Well, I've had quite a morning. I went to the store and bought celery. And okay, let's get into the podcast. I'm very excited about our guest. I really am. It's Natalie Morales. Natalie,
hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Bridger. How are you?
I guess I'm unsettled.
You are? I'm, by what?
By buying the celery, I suppose.
Do you not like celery?
Well, I don't mind celery. I'm buying it actually for our dog.
Oh, who needs to eat celery?
Yeah, she eats celery every morning with her breakfast.
As a treat or as a medication?
Well, according to my boyfriend, and I haven't looked into this, just for health purposes.
Uh-huh, like a celery juice straight in the morning, like he's Gwyneth Paltrow, like your dog's going to,
So it's like a dog fad diet sort of thing.
Do you call it a bone?
I don't call it a bone. The only words she knows for food is actually just treat. She doesn't even know food.
Oh.
Interesting.
I give my dog carrots and call them bones, and he's very excited. Anything that's, stick-shaped, I'm like,
right.
It's a bone.
My dog's getting carrots as well. Little baby carrots.
Listen, call it a bone. It's very exciting for them.
I ran out of celery last week for a couple of days, and she began eating houseplants.
Oh, so she likes it.
I guess she loves a bitter green.
Interesting. Hate celery.
You hate celery?
I hate celery. I don't mind it for a sporadic crunch in a tuna salad.
Right,
but
right.
As if I can really taste it, I'm not into it.
Interesting, because to me, it feels like a very mild flavor.
No, it tastes, the thing that people say about cilantro, that's how I feel about celery. It tastes really strong to me.
It's maybe genetic or something.
Maybe. I'm Cuban, so we don't eat a lot of celery.
Right.
It's not part of our mirepoix.
Who eats a lot? What culture eats celery?
So in every culture, I think, except for maybe American culture, there's a basis of cooking. And for the French, a mirepoix is like celery, onions, and carrots. That's how you start almost every meal, right?
Right.
For Cubans and a lot of Caribbean cultures, it's onions, garlic, green pepper.
Much more flavorful.
So it's a different flavor entirely.
Right. And celery, I guess is it salty? Is that what we're talking about?
Celery tastes to me like soap. It tastes like it tastes like a strong antibacterial soap. That's truly how I feel about it.
Well, yeah, so that is the cilantro situation.
Yeah, it has a causticness to it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm just very blessed that everything tastes good to me.
That you are incredibly blessed.
I can just go through any meal, eating.
Do you know what a super taster is?
I know what a super... There's another super something, like with faces, right?
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Where you can memorize. Now I may be creating a thing people have. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure there's a thing where you can, you see a face once. Mm-hmm. Am I talking about a photographic memory? Maybe. Super taster. What is a super
taster?
My friend
Matt, who I used to live next door to in this apartment, I had a little get together once, and he brought over these strips, and he's like, everyone, I've got super taster strips. And there are these strips that if you are a super taster, meaning you have more taste buds in your tongue than the average person, this strip will taste incredibly bitter to you. And if you're not a super taster, you will taste nothing.
Right.
And I was, of course, a super taster. And this person I was dating at the time was not a super taster.
Oh, falling apart.
And he was like, you're just being dramatic. You don't taste anything. He did not. He was terrible.
But
he did not believe. And my two best friends were also super taster. And he's like, you guys are all just dramatic. This is not true. And also my friend Matt, who brought up the super taster things, was also too. But it was about half and half of us. Half and half. But it tasted so incredibly bad to me that I had to spit it out and wash my mouth. And this person I was dating, nothing. It tasted nothing at all.
So that was the beginning of the end of the relationship for you.
Yes, it was.
I feel like, because you're never going to be able to go to the same restaurant.
You can't trust a person like
you
that.
You cannot trust this person.
When they recommend anything.
No.
I can't trust you, I guess.
My guess is I'm not a super taster.
Yeah, if you like everything, then you're not a super taster.
I probably have like four taste buds. I don't
Good
know.
Good for you, man. That's great. You can enjoy so many things.
I suppose.
Am I enjoying them
or am I just not experiencing them? That's the big question.
Listen, as long as you're happy.
As long as I'm happy and I'm not. Yeah. So
sorry about that.
What was I going to say? I am a super texture.
Oh, me too. Me too. For foods and clothes and all that?
Right. Oh, clothes. Interesting. Yeah. Well, probably.
Yeah.
Food-wise, what is like the...
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
I don't mind the taste of mushrooms. Right. I can't deal with the texture of them.
Kind of the...
The gummy, chewy mushroominess
of them.
Yeah, I like mochi.
Interesting.
Which some people would say is similar, but I disagree.
Okay.
The way that the break is different.
Well, and mochi is a different flavor, so
yes,
like
also,
maybe that combined with that texture.
But the break, like once your teeth break through with a mushroom, is different than with a mochi, and I don't like the mushroom version of it. I really don't.
Cooked? You can't eat a mushroom?
Only if they're chopped really small. It's just I can't bite into it. I don't mind the taste of it, but I can't bite into any mushroom. It's slimy and gummy. It's so gross to me.
I mean, I completely disagree.
Really? You like the texture of mushrooms?
I kind of love it, actually.
Interesting.
It's kind of like it's almost like a chew toy or something.
I also didn't grow up with eating mushrooms, so it was a new adult thing that I was like, can't do that.
I'm pretty late into eating mushrooms as well. It was probably my early 20s when I started to actually believe in
the
mushrooms.
Yeah.
I avoided them up until that point.
You know what's the biggest bullshit of mushrooms? That I'm a vegetarian and constantly people are like, great, have a fucking mushroom burger. And mushrooms have no protein, little to no protein. It's a lie. It is not a replacement for a protein.
This is my big question about mushrooms in general. I feel like they offer no nutritional value.
They're almost water. They're like iceberg lettuce.
Yeah,
Except for the ones that, you know, make you like have an ego death. But other than that,
it's just kind of a nothing.
Yeah, it's water.
It's a packing peanut
sort of
situation. But you would think that fungus would have all sorts of properties.
I guess some of them do, but it's a little scary to me, and it doesn't feel that good in my mouth, so I stay away mostly.
I will say I do need a mushroom chopped up. If it's like a little, are those button mushrooms that they like saute up?
Yeah.
Then it is kind of just wet and...
Yeah.
Too much.
Yes.
Too much. I need at least half volume.
Chopped up. Yeah.
And a mushroom burger, are they just putting a portobello mushroom?
Yes, just the cap. What bullshit.
I worked at a bakery. I'm not going to name the bakery because they accused me of burglary at one point.
Oh, okay.
But
you tell me later.
They had a mushroom sandwich where you're just dropping a full mushroom in there.
Yeah.
That makes no sense at all to me.
You know what I don't like about a portobello? What about any mushroom, really? That underside part, it's scary.
The
little fins,
the gills. Basically.
You can't tell me that doesn't look off.
It like, looks wild. Yeah,
like, yeah.
Certainly.
Like if I was like, I love mushrooms, I probably still wouldn't look at that part. You know, like it's weird. It creeps me out.
So I'm wondering now if you have, and we've talked about this on this podcast before, and I can't remember the word, trypophobia.
No, I don't. But my best friend does.
Okay.
She has it really bad. She can't drive behind like a truck holding a bunch of pipes. She can't. It's that
She's
bad.
A risk to everyone.
She can't look at a sunflower. She can't. She has a hard time with that. I don't have trypophobia. Trypophobia? I don't know how you pronounce it.
But I
can't look at gourds.
Gourds?
Like pimply gourds?
Oh, yeah, because those
they're horrible to look at.
They look like they have a skin condition.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Take them to the dermatologist.
I don't like gourds in that. Like October at Trader Joe's is a hard time for me. I have to avert my gaze a lot. But yeah. I don't think I have that. I can look at many round shapes and stuff. It's just the gills. They're just scary. They feel like alien and like I don't understand them and they're hiding something in there. There's too many flaps, and I don't I don't know. I don't trust it.
This is a little trick I use personally when I'm trying a new food. I think, what if I was on a different planet? Of course I would eat this because right. I would want to try it.
Right.
So, and yeah. But then often it doesn't taste good, but at least I
right.
got myself
but
to eat it.
Would mushrooms fit into that? Would you look at a mushroom and go, that want to put that in my mouth? Like that, like as opposed to a strawberry?
If I were on another planet?
Yeah.
And now are we saying
what's
that,
more inviting to you?
Are we saying I crash landed and found these or
yes.
the culture's providing them
no,
to me?
No, you found them in the
I
woods.
I would eat the strawberry.
Right.
Well, actually, strawberries have the little... I mean, seeds. So
yeah,
trypophobia, yeah. And I don't have it, but I would look at that and think, why does it have so many little dots on it?
Yeah, yeah. But would it look more appetizing to you?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful fruit.
It is a beautiful fruit.
And
it looks
now, speaking
juicy.
Of strawberries, they are kind of the mushroom of the fruit world because they are, well, no, they're not. I mean, the opposite, because they're full of nutrients and
they
whatever.
They are.
And very
vitamin,
low in sugar.
Vitamin A, I feel like.
So you can
maybe
eat as many
C.
strawberries as you want.
You know, they also whiten your teeth?
That can't possibly
it's true.
Be true.
Look it up.
How many strawberries do you have to eat?
I think you can brush your teeth with strawberries and they whiten them a little bit. They might be bad because of the sugar, but they do have a whitening effect is what I've heard.
I feel like you would have to eat so many strawberries that your teeth would begin to turn red first.
Maybe. But I think it's the kind of thing where it's like a tone, you know, like a bleaching tone where the particular red of the strawberry is actually a kind of a blue red, you know?
What are we talking about?
We're getting into it, Bridger.
It's kind of a blue. Interesting.
Yeah, blue-red. You've heard of the term blue-red.
I've never heard this term.
Really?
No.
It's a term for, it's the undertone of a red. It's a blue-red favors some people. I'm teaching you so much.
I know. I'm glad I brought you here today.
A blue-red looks better on some people lipstick-wise, and then an orange-red looks better on some other. It's the undertone of it.
Oh.
Yes.
I wonder
and strawberries are a blue-red.
Where do you think I would fall as far as lipstick goes?
I think you could pull off any red, honestly.
Wow, I love to hear that.
I really do.
Okay, I'm going to get every color.
I can't. I look like Ronald McDonald. My mouth is really big. I have to have a blue red or like
red.
A brick red.
And so is blue red headed towards purple?
Yes, it has that just an undertone, a cooler undertone as opposed to a warmer undertone.
Okay, interesting. But I can just do any lipstick
you really
I want.
Can. I think so.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep that in my back pocket. Do you know what I want to ask you about is, have you ever been taken in by a salesperson, a door-to-door salesperson?
No.
It happened to me.
About what? What did they sell you? Those knives?
The other night, somebody knocked on the door. I open it. There's this man standing there in a little, like, regular clothes. Well, maybe like a
briefcase?
Polo. Oh, say it again.
Briefcase?
No briefcase.
Okay.
Pretty regular clothes, a polo. But then he had one of those little, like, reflective vests on, like construction vests.
Mm-hmm.
Starts talking to me about, like, saving on my power, my energy bill. Has me look up my energy bill. And I should have asked more questions. I started to think, it seemed like he worked for the state. So I'm like, I'm on board with this person.
Because of the vest.
Because of the vest.
Yeah, yeah. The vest fools a lot of people. You can just get those on Amazon.
That's what I'm finding out. This is part of a costume. Yeah. And he scheduled an appointment for the next night for someone else. And the window was 7 to 9 p.m., which alarm bells should have been going off.
Yeah, yeah.
Another guy shows up in a vest. He comes to the backyard. We're sitting here for an hour. I'm giving him every piece of my information. I'm like doing one of those
is this
little...
Is for solar energy? What was he selling you on? What?
Solar panels.
Okay, okay.
Which are not bad, but... Clearly, he was from a company. He was not from the state
the
of
city,
California
LADWP,
or anything.
LADWP, yes.
So I started to feel like I had been... I mean, if he had been more upfront, maybe I would have been on board
you
with solar.
Yeah.
But then there were so many little red flags. Mm. There was like doing the savings on paper and asking me which one I would prefer. That's not something a government official would do.
No, Bridger, that's...
So I had
I'm
to...
Sorry.
Eventually, I had to just lie and say, well, I'm going to call my boyfriend and we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
And now he's out of my life, but he has all of my information. I'm not kidding. They had me do one of those surveys to prove it was me,
where
I'm like saying, which of these streets have you lived on?
No.
I don't know. I guess
why did you do that?
I'm a moron. I'm an idiot.
Oh, no.
I feel like a real fool.
Well, you've learned your lesson now.
No.
Okay. well, let me tell you something. Anyone knocks on your door, you don't answer. And then if you must answer, you ask them who they are. They should not be asking you any questions.
I need to really get into it. And this is the second time in a month that I've had door-to-door people. I had Jehovah's Witnesses just a couple weeks ago. That was a more pleasant exchange.
You could put a no soliciting sign on your door if you like.
Do those work?
I think they can't. I think it's I think there's like laws about them soliciting when you've said no soliciting.
But then what do? I call 911?
No, they won't knock.
But if they do...
You could shoot them, I think.
So maybe okay,
not
I'm going to get a no solicit
in other states
and start answering the door with a gun. That's my new
I just
tactic.
Mean I don't think you should do that. I don't condone that. I'm just saying I think that's the risk they take.
Okay, that's
when
interesting.
When you put a warning on your property, if it's not right. heated, you know, it's their responsibility.
Okay, because I feel like door-to-door
salesman. I'm completely talking out of my ass here, but I feel like that's the case.
Well, I'm going to speak
because otherwise, why would people use those signs if they didn't work?
Because people want to believe.
Sure.
There's that desire, that need for hope.
But if you were a solicitor and you saw a no soliciting sign, mm-hmm. would you knock on that door?
Now, I'm wondering, the problem is I'm just so far from the solicitor mindset.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get into the solicitor mindset. I would knock.
Great.
Because you have to do whatever
it takes.
Oh,
God. You are a dangerous liver. Yeah, you live dangerously.
Yeah, I think I would knock and I would be pushy because that's what you have to do as a door-to-door salesman.
All right.
Or you have to literally... I mean, these people deceived me.
I think we need to look into the laws of the no soliciting signs before you continue
yeah.
to knock.
I mean...
Maybe that's the first thing they tell you when you start your door-to-door salesman career, right?
Like, yeah, that's probably one of the things. Yeah. Maybe I put blood on the door. Do the,
yeah, just a little lamb's blood.
Passover
yes.
situation.
Yes.
That might work. I was curious about that because I felt incredibly stupid.
I'm sorry about that. I think I'm mistrustful of people to a fault, perhaps. So
right.
I go in the other direction. I might have missed like someone being like, no, really, I want to give you $1 million. And I'm like, no, you scam artist. Get away from me.
That is who I am usually, but I guess yeah. it's the vest.
Mm,
what
the
a
vest. Yeah,
easy
you can't
trick.
Trust a vest. You can't trust a vest.
I'm going to start wearing a vest.
Yeah.
The authority that it provides you.
Again, you can pull it off. Yeah.
I'm going to start walking around in a vest and the brightest red lipstick yeah. I can possibly mm-hmm. find. And I'm going to own the world. I'm
you know
run
what
the
else
world.
Helps you get into anywhere you want? Wearing all black. Like any event, you just pretend you're a publicist or you work there. You get in anywhere. True.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm. On your phone and you're like, excuse me. And you just walk in. Just
although if
you
knock on a door in all black, that feels like you're about to commit a crime.
Yes, that's
so
true.
That's the one
not,
place.
Not getting into a house yet.
You've got to have a vest when you knock on a door. You're in all black when you're headed to the Oscars.
I bet a vest would work to get in those places too.
That's true, because they're like, oh, this guy's working on something, and the whole event could crumble.
Right, if I don't let him in.
Right.
Yeah.
These are things we need to know, that we need to discuss publicly, so everyone can get on board with it.
Yes.
Wear a vest if you want control. Ignore people who have a vest.
Yeah, question a vest.
Question a vest.
Yeah. I need to see other ID besides your vest.
I'm going to start living my life with that little
question
motto.
A vest.
Question
yeah.
a vest.
Yeah.
So... Talking about, you know, tricking people and being a problem in people's lives, just kind of showing up unwanted.
Right.
I was excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. Are you saying you're no longer excited?
I was very excited, anticipating the day. I thought, Natalie's wonderful. We're going to have a great time. Nothing will go wrong. The podcast is called I Said No Gifts.
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay. So you do know.
I know.
Now we're really getting back to this knocking on the door situation.
I didn't really look at the name until I got here, and and I missed that part. And I actually brought you two gifts.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
No, I really overdid it.
Okay, well, deep breathing.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Trying to control myself. Should I open them here on the podcast?
I feel like if that's a thing you normally do on your podcast called I Said No Gifts, that maybe you should, like, just to keep your listeners, engaged.
Well, I don't know that this podcast has any rules. I can't even remember the last one, if I opened the gift or not, but if you insist,
yeah,
let's get into it.
Okay.
It's in a little white cloth bag. Is this a gunny sack? What is a gunny sack?
I have no idea what a gunny sack is.
I feel like that's kind of the thing you do in... Well, no, it's not what you do in a potato sack race, because that's a potato sack.
A gunny sack sounds like a bad word.
Yeah, it kind of does, actually. Get on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
Think of what it is, and it's now out there as a disgusting word, gunny sack. This is a white cloth sack that I'm going to dive into here.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it says salty on it. I noticed that afterwards.
Oh, on the little tag, yeah. Salty. Interesting.
I have no idea. I don't know where that...
It's the attitude you brought to the podcast.
It's what
today.
You said celery was earlier.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, what a connection.
We've come full circle here.
Should I take them out in any order?
No, go ahead. Okay. You pick whatever feels the texture feels more interesting.
I'm feeling a cube. So okay. I'm going to bring a cube. It could be a Rubik's cube. It could be anything.
Oh, you unwrapped it already.
Oh, I unwrapped the tissue fell off in the
yes.
back. I'm going crazy over this, actually.
Really?
I mean, I don't know quite what it is because it looks like chocolate chips to me.
But read what it says because I mostly brought it to you because of the name.
Dark hot pistoles?
Dark hot chocolate pistoles.
What does that mean?
I just love that, the way that sounded. And someone gave that to me in the winter.
Okay.
And I didn't use it. And I thought, it's the beginning of summer. It's getting hot. What could be better for Bridger than dark hot chocolate that he can make with pistoles? There's some instructions there.
Yeah, it says pour 2 ounce boiling water over 4 ounces of chocolate, whisk together until melted and frothy.
Yeah.
That sounds incredible.
I would look at the expiration date because it might be expired, but it is chocolate, so it might not matter.
Well, this is the thing I'm learning about expiration dates pretty recently is that they're almost always a lie.
Right, especially with chocolate, I feel like.
Yeah. Chocolate.
But I hate dark chocolate.
You hate dark chocolate.
It's too bitter
for
me.
Super taster.
So I figured, you know, you might at the height of summer, you might want one of those hot chocolate nights.
I mean, we're headed into June gloom.
True. There's going to be some more rain for us, probably.
I don't need you to say that to me because I have been and we're not going to get into this too much because this has been the truly hours of the podcast at this point. Yo. The house flooded.
Oh, no.
We're just escaping that.
Oh, God.
Nightmare. I mean, I truly have nightmares about it.
That's awful. That sounds terrible. So wait, if April showers bring May flowers, what does June gloom bring? Nothing.
July boom. And then we have the fireworks.
Oh, great.
There we go.
Great.
June gloom is something I don't feel like most people know about Los Angeles. And so I think people probably will be like, oh, let's have a summer trip in June. Mm-hmm. And they come here and it's kind of depressing. Although
There's
I love it.
There's a song called June Gloom that, is it Jenny Lewis who sang it? Who is it? I used to love that song. That's how I know the term June Gloom.
Yeah, June Gloom, I love. It's a nice little break from the summer heat and it prepares you for the hell of July and August.
Yeah.
Or it gives you a little break. Just clouds basically all month.
And it's hot in LA until October. People don't realize that.
Yes. A hot Halloween.
I feel like it's going to be a very hot summer based on how long our winter was. But that's just, again, my own brain predicting
right.
something.
I mean, selfishly.
It has no basis in anything.
I mean, selfishly, after my rain trauma, I never want it to rain again.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But you need it.
That feels like it would be bad for
Are
all of us.
Are you prepared for more rain? No.
That's what the builders tell me.
Okay.
But we, of course, now have to wait 9 months to find out.
Well, June's coming.
But I don't think it's going to rain that much.
Okay.
I'm knocking on
wood. Yeah, let's see.
I'm praying to God. If we have flooding again, I'm shutting down the podcast. I'm selling the house. I'm truly going somewhere else.
You can sell the gifts you've gotten and buy a new house. Yeah.
Buy my vacation home.
Yeah, with all the dark chocolate pistols you can offer.
I mean, these have got to be worth probably 50 grand.
I don't know that they're worth quite that much.
Not yet, but now they've been on the podcast.
Right, now they've been talked about.
They're famous.
They're famous dark chocolate pistols.
They do have a brand.
I've never heard of that
brand.
This
brand has done a horrible job with their logo because I simply
can't read it.
It.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Racinti. It's kind of a pirate scroll.
Yeah, it is a pirate scroll.
These look great, though. I can't believe you don't like dark chocolate.
Do you like hot chocolate?
Yeah, I love hot chocolate. I haven't had one in...
You're very welcome. And because of the dark hot chocolate pistoles, you can put any milk you want.
Oh, interesting.
You know?
Wait.
Oat milk, whatever.
And I couldn't do that with a milk chocolate? You're saying I could do any sort of milk?
I'm just saying it's not a mix. It's not like a mix that you do with water.
Oh,
you know, it's
right.
a chocolate that you melt into a milk.
The mix with the water, it's always,
it's
it feels
so,
like
it's gross.
Your house burned down and you, like the
That's all you can
rescue
get.
Crew
yes.
brought
yes.
the Swiss
It feels like
Miss.
A FEMA treat. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, you're right.
Although I probably would go for it. I like those little marshmallows.
Well, you do like everything.
Those little hard marshmallows that don't really have a marshmallow
I like those
texture.
Marshmallows too.
They're essentially just hard sugar.
Yeah.
But they give the impression
of a Swiss Alp.
Yeah, but Swiss Alp. You're from Miami, so I can't imagine your life has been hot chocolate rich.
Do you know the few days in Miami that it is cold, we would eat hot chocolate and Cuban bread with butter for dinner sometimes.
Oh,
and
that sounds incredible.
It was incredible. I didn't realize that it was because we were really poor. I was like, yes, hot chocolate night. It's so good. It is really good. It's not nutritious, but it is filling. I did grow up with hot chocolate on some winter nights, and I really did love it. There's like your Latin American listeners who I'm sure are abundant, will know about Abuelita hot chocolate, which is this like Mexican like brick hot chocolate that you just like melt in a saucepan of milk. And it's delicious.
That sounds
amazing.
That's
what we would make, yeah.
That's how hot chocolate should be made.
Yes, with the dark chocolate pistoles or with the Abuelita chocolate.
Right, where you are just drinking liquid chocolate.
Yes, yeah.
Rather than the powder.
In the water, correct.
Dehydrated milk or what have you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had hot chocolate and bread for dinner sometimes. What are you eating for dinner now? What's your regular dinner situation?
Oh, that's interesting. I feel like I've been traveling a bit, so... I don't have like my normal groceries in my house, so I've kind of been living like a field mouse, you know, where I just like find things. I do like to like do a thing where I like to cook, and my favorite kind of cooking is like kitchen sink cooking, where I'm like, what do I have and what weird thing can I invent with it?
A chopped challenge.
Yes, a chopped challenge. Correct.
The
basket. So the other day I made myself some potatoes, and I was like, I want some kind of like cheesy sauce to go on it, but all I had was ricotta cheese.
Oh.
And I was like, no, sorry, not ricotta, no, even worse, cottage cheese.
Okay, let's just pause for a moment. And even worse, on this podcast you cannot call cottage cheese even worse.
No, I like cottage cheese.
Okay.
For those people who don't, this situation is, you know, when you think about cottage cheese with potatoes, it might not be the best thing, but listen here.
Okay.
Listen to what I do.
I apologize.
I love a cottage cheese. Okay. That's why it's in my refrigerator. But here's what I did. I got some I had some red onions.
Okay.
I sautéed them really slow so they were caramelized, right?
Okay.
And then I blended them with the cottage cheese. So the cottage cheese became a smooth sauce that was a caramelized red onion cheese sauce that then I drizzled all over the potatoes, and it was so good.
It worked.
It worked so well. I mean, I put the potatoes in the oven with some garlic and some spices,
God.
And then I did that, and it was delicious. And that's the kind of like, what do I have in the house? What can I do?
Wow.
Kind of cooking that I enjoy doing.
So another incredible endorsement for cottage cheese. It's so versatile.
Yeah, if you don't like the texture of cottage cheese, you can blend it. I don't know if people don't know that.
And when you say blend...
In like a little blender.
A blender.
Yeah, and then it just becomes a smooth, creamy cheese.
Wow, fascinating. Yeah. I wonder, does it melt?
I don't know, because I didn't try and melt it, because it was like, it's like the texture of like a whipped cream cheese it's like a smooth, creamy cheese.
Wow, cottage cheese. This is its year.
You can make it taste like anything.
I really like that.
You can go sweet
onions,
or savory.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I have been talking about cottage cheese for years. Feels like the world is finally catching up.
Mm-hmm.
And so this podcast is kind of dedicated to that.
To cottage cheese?
Yeah.
Do you want to know how else I enjoy cottage cheese?
How?
Sometimes when I'm starving and I just need a quick meal, I'll open a little tub of cottage cheese. I'll get some honey. I'll squirt it on the tub, and then I'll just have spoonfuls of honey and cottage cheese, and it's delicious.
I think we found something I don't like the taste of.
Honey?
Honey.
All honey? Because McDonald's little things, honey, horrible. But real honey, delicious. Fake honey is awful.
Fake honey?
Yes, which is just corn syrup.
Oh.
It's terrible.
That sounds horrible. No, I don't think I like... There's something about the organicness of honey that feels... tastes kind of old to me or something.
Interesting, yeah.
Maybe I just need to acquire the taste.
Maybe you haven't had really good honey.
Yeah, where's really good honey coming from?
Farmers markets and like places that are fresh, really fresh honey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of something that doesn't expire,
honey.
They found it in the pyramids or something.
True.
I wonder.
I wouldn't eat it, but
who did eat it to test it?
I don't know that anyone did.
It's just
cursed mummy honey. This is weird shit to put in your body.
I feel like some archaeologist was bullied into trying it or something.
Just like pinky try, just like a little dip in there, maybe.
You've got to have some sort of test, or otherwise you're not going to believe it. Okay, I wonder if I can put these into cookies.
I'm sure you can. I don't know what their meltability is, but...
Well, they must be extremely meltable.
You should try it. If you make a lot of cookies, to do it.
That's a nice thing about a cookie kitchen sink-wise. You can just drop whatever you want in there and see what happens.
You can.
I've tried a lot of things, and I've seen people try potato chips or pretzels. That doesn't actually work. I want to warn the listener. They end up just kind of soggy in there.
Uh-huh. That
doesn't
make
any sense.
Yeah.
But this is essentially a chocolate chip. Do you like a cookie?
I do. I love a chocolate chip cookie. Soft and flat and minimal chips.
Oh.
Golden brown.
That's an extreme version of the cookie.
I feel like I find it most places. It's like, I just don't like it when it's too many chocolate chips.
Sure.
It just has to have like I like the cookie part. And I like an occasional chip and some salt on top.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I think you are kind of describing an ideal chocolate chip cookie, because I think a lot of bakeries or bakers will try to disguise that their dough doesn't taste very good by just putting too much chocolate
in there. I agree.
You want to taste
like
the butter and sugar.
Either.
You don't like a chunk.
A chocolate chunk in a cookie? I like a chip.
You have to have a chunk.
I don't want to bite into a hard chunk while I'm eating a soft cookie. It's texture war.
Texture. There's
yeah,
the
but
texture.
Yeah, that sort of like soft, gooey, golden brown, you know, cookie. I love that. It's
Where
so
are you
good.
Getting this?
And like, you can spot them different places. You know, you could like. I feel like some places, like, you know, who has really good cookies is All Time as a dessert.
Everything at All Time.
Yes, everything is really
good.
All Time is for your non-LA listeners, a restaurant in LA that I like a lot. Please give me a discount.
We deserve at least one free
meal. But I do
meal.
Love their cookies. They have a cookie for dessert, and they give you three cookies and a glass of milk.
Wait, I was not aware of this.
Yeah,
that sounds incredible.
Yeah,
everything they touch is golden, so I'm going to have to go there. Is that something I can just order without getting a meal?
I feel like you can.
Just sitting on sidewalk there eating cookies?
Yeah.
Well, who cares? I mean,
who cares?
At this point, I can do whatever I want.
At any point, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
If only I had known that sooner.
Yeah.
I would have been eating cookies on the sidewalk way sooner. Okay, I'm getting back into the bag here.
Yeah, don't take the foil. I mean,
the wrap
the
off
tissue
the
off. I would like to see you unwrap it.
Annalise is helping here. Okay. Okay.
Well, I could have helped you, Bridget.
Well, you didn't offer.
I didn't know you were struggling.
Okay, I'm opening. I have I have no idea what this is.
I would love for a few guesses.
Okay, so it's like it's a sphere, a plastic sphere, or better known as
the
a ball,
ball.
to our listeners. It's a ball that's white with little holes in it all over it, with little colored balls.
Not good for the trypophobia people,
I
guess.
I mean,
yeah.
the way things come together.
Yeah, yeah, they really did a wraparound.
We've talked the simulation to death, but it's really showing its ass here.
I know.
Okay, so it's little balls all over the place. And then in the middle, there's like a styrofoam. That's probably just part of the build to keep these balls. I guess for this, and it's weird that I mentioned a Rubik's Cube earlier, because this feels Rubik adjacent, because you can kind of push the balls in.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a stress ball?
I will tell you what it is. It is one in a package of many fidget toys that I bought myself when I was very stressed out like a couple months ago. And it's basically you see the empty hole?
Yes.
You can push any of those balls. You just switch the places of those balls.
Oh.
Is what you do. It's just a fidget toy. Yeah, there you go. You just kind of push them around.
Let's see if we can get that sound, because it's kind of satisfying.
Here, do you want me to hold the mic for you?
Okay, let's see if we can do this here. Here we go. No, come on, baby.
There you go.
Ooh, one more.
You just kind of push them through.
People are loving this right now. There we go. A nice snap.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, this is really a nice little thing. I mean, I almost prefer, and apologies to the inventor of this, I almost just like pushing it in, kind of like stressful.
You do whatever you want to do with it. That's the whole point. If you're ever on the phone or like on hold or having an annoying conversation, it's great to have in your hands.
Yeah, I've never, while on a long hold call, had like a thing to do.
No,
just
you
sit
just sit there
a captive.
Really?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
I must be looking at my phone.
Do you pace around your house? Or?
No, I seethe.
Uh-huh.
I just sit at the kitchen counter and seethe quietly, beginning to boil over.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had one of these, I think I would be better off. So you bought a whole bag of these or something?
Yes, they're all assorted.
What else came in there?
You know, your classic fidget spinners.
Okay. It had its day, and now...
Listen, they're great. Especially, there's been some new advancements in the shapes.
Really?
Yeah.
What are they doing with them now?
I have a little fidget spinner cube that's fantastic, and I use it almost all my meetings. And sometimes in auditions.
Oh!
And there's little, yeah, there's just all, they're hard to describe, but all different kinds of fidget toys.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you, do you carry one in a bag? Is it like, how do you keep it with you?
I don't have it with me. I carry earplugs usually in my bag, but I don't have one with me now. Sometimes I do, depending on how I feel on the day, but mostly they're while I'm at home and like working or on the phone or,
right,
you know, being
right.
held captive in some way.
Literally
play,
kidnapped
play
you
with
have
something.
A fidget
yes,
spinner.
Yeah.
That's a good tip for kidnappers.
Yeah, I'd be fine. If I had a fidget spinner, I'd be at least like, okay.
Give your captive a fidget spinner.
Yeah,
yeah. To pass the something time to do. Or something. You've got to have something mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. Why do you carry earplugs?
I have become increasingly sensitive to certain sounds. Specifically, you know when people do, when you go to a show and people do that clap where it like really catches, where they like really, you know the clap I'm talking about?
Super loud.
The super loud clap?
Yes.
I like can't.
It's like a snap.
Think. Yeah. It's very hard for me to concentrate or keep existing when that's happening. So I've been starting to carry earplugs around for different events and different things.
For like concerts, this sort of thing.
Yeah. Also sometimes just comedy shows or like, yeah. Anything where there's a crowd.
Right, right. Grocery stores.
Like, yeah, yeah. Also people making repetitive body noises, like sniffling.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Makes me want to rip my skin off. So sometimes if I'm like on any kind of public transport.
Right,
and
right.
I don't have my headphones in, yeah.
For concerts, should have been carrying them
They're
since I was 15.
They're great for concerts. When you put them in your ears, you're like, oh God, I can't hear as well. And then you have them in and you're like, great, I can actually hear everything. And then you take them out and you're like, oh my God, how is anyone dealing with how loud this is? It's
horrible.
So crazy. And it does make you go deaf when you go to too many concerts.
Of course.
Yeah.
That feels like a great merch opportunity for bands. Why are they not capitalizing on this?
I guess because it's a bad look, right?
Who cares?
Is there earplugs at your concert?
Oh, yeah, well, sure. But if... I'm trying to argue for myself here, but I feel like there's some sort of branding, marketing.
Yeah.
You get an expert advertiser. They can figure out how to sell those to concert goers without embarrassing the band.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. I guess you're right.
Yeah, yeah, that's like survey. Like,
there's the
selling.
Ones that I have are specifically designed so that you can hear through them. They only block out certain high decibel numbers. It's not like a full earplug, you know?
What does it look like?
They're called loops, not to add, please sell me some loops.
Loops?
Yeah, they're called loops.
I'll give you my address. I need hundreds.
Yes. I like them a lot. I have a
and
few.
And are they like foam?
They're like little, you know how like a ear, earphones have those little rubbery things on them?
Right.
It's that, right? With
okay.
a little loop attached to it, a little metal loop so you can put it in your ear and you can kind of adjust how deep they go.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And they look fine. They look kind of cool in your ear. They look like jewelry because they have a little metal circle
oh.
around them and they're very small.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I'm going to get into this.
Loops. They have helped me a lot.
Who introduced you to them? Because that feels like something you don't just stumble across.
I think probably ADHD TikTok.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. But also my own panic induced researching
uh-huh.
on like, I was sitting at my friend's show and someone behind me was doing that clap. This is like last October. And I was like, oh God, and I couldn't deal with it. And during the show, I went on Amazon and bought earplugs because I was like, I can't survive this. Like I had to go hide in the bathroom. I could not deal with
wow.
the clapping. Yeah.
Who is this clapper?
Many of you are. Many people
okay,
are
you're
this
saying
clapper.
You.
Yeah. Many people are this clapper.
At.
I don't know if you do this clap, but we've all done it at some point. You're like, oh, I caught a good clap there. Let me keep going on that clap. But it pierces through my skull.
I mean, I guess if you really appreciate what's going on, you do the big clap.
Yeah. But it's not the flat hand clap, you know,
right.
It's like kind
it's
of like
kind
a cupped hand clap. Yeah.
Creates kind of a little
yeah.
echo or something.
Yeah, I just have sensory issues. What can I tell you, Bridger? I'm trying to accommodate these things so I can keep existing.
I want to know if this face thing is real. Super facer.
Someone who has like a really photogenic memory.
I feel like it's a super recognizer. Annalise, type super recognizer. Annalise is on the case.
I'm certainly not a super recognizer.
Okay. I mean, my God, I'm so bad.
I'm really bad. I'm really, really bad.
Annalise has an answer.
I can't believe this. It's literally called super recognizer.
Okay.
Amazing.
So
you were right.
A genius.
You are.
So have you had any situations where you've, in particular, where you should have known somebody and then it didn't work
Hundreds
out?
Hundreds of times. how do I say this? I have men from 30 to 60 in a suit blindness. It doesn't matter what race you are, what height you are, you're in a suit, you look the same to me, and I, and they're always the people I need to remember.
Of course.
They're always agents or executives or like the head of a fucking studio that is giving me a chance to do something, and I'm like, right. Hi, who are you? And I've met them already, and I never remember them. Unfortunately, most of the time, when I meet them, their personality isn't shining, so they really do blend in, and they're wearing the same thing. It's crazy to me that like suits are so unimaginative.
Yes.
And like the only way you can express your personality is your tie, and you barely do that. And so like, how am I going to remember you? You all blend in. I'm sorry. I don't mean that to be, I don't know. I don't mean that to sound, what's the word? Misandrist. But I just feel.
This is your big cancellation.
I have a blindness. I really can't tell the difference.
Well, look above their neck.
I'm just looking right at the chest the whole time. I can't.
My eyes are up here.
No, I really can't tell the difference. It's really bad. It's very bad.
That's a real situation.
Yeah.
I have that with people 0 to 99 of every sort.
I
do not recognize people.
I have a hard time recognizing people too. But the second that they tell me anything that gives me a clue as to how I know them, I'll remember everything about them.
Right.
I'll go like, oh, right, we were in this dinner in someone's basement in 2003.
You're and so
like,
meaningful to me.
Yeah, I'll remember everything, but I just need that clue. Because I, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, I'm so mistrustful of people that there's all these walls between who they are.
Right,
where I'm
right.
like, I don't trust you. I don't trust you at all. You could be
probably,
a,
you're
you
probably
a snake.
Selling me
oh, yeah.
Solar
oh,
panels.
My God. You're my best friend's mom. You know, like. It's that kind of thing.
I've been picketing a lot recently because of the Writers Guild strike. And I, of course, am seeing a lot of people that I've worked with, friends, this sort of thing. So many people I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, but and they'll say hi to me. I have to go around
nice
the picket
to see
line
you.
10 times before I remember. And as soon as they say hi to me, I'm sweating.
You're panicking.
Sweating,
yeah.
Thinking, going through the alphabet, being like, is it Andrew? Is it Brian? And I'll say, sunglasses? Will absolutely disguise you.
Interesting.
I didn't realize.
Sunglasses and a hat.
Like on the news or whatever, when they put the black bar over people's eyes.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I was like, how does that hide anyone?
Yeah, it's like a Clark Kent situation.
Apparently. Yeah. Oh, interesting for Clark Kent.
What do you think? I have sunglasses here. I'm just trying them on. I feel like I'm still recognizable.
Well, you're sitting right in front of me. What if I didn't recognize you?
No, where'd you go?
Screaming, who's this woman?
No, but like if you saw me on the street, I feel like I'm still recognizable. My mouth and nose are very recognizable, and my jaw, I think. But maybe not to you.
I'm telling you, there's a good chance I wouldn't recognize you.
Interesting.
But I would be absolutely cordial. You would think that we had met.
Listen, if we run into each other, we've never met before.
No,
right?
This feels like
right?
We're on stage.
We haven't met, right?
We did not know each other before the show, audience.
No, but
haven't met.
Okay.
No.
Okay, I thought for a second forgetting.
That would also
we
be
both
really
forgot.
Funny. I start crying.
God, we worked together on a thing a million years ago. But we've both forgotten about it.
We were married.
So if I see you again,
yes,
I probably won't recognize you, and you probably won't recognize me, and we won't hold it against each other. One of us does.
This is what everyone needs
to
do.
But now it'll be memorable, right?
I know, we've really formed a bond.
Yeah,
it's a lifelong thing. We'll be remembering each other on our deathbeds.
Yes.
But this is what everyone needs to do, because I want to ask you about this. What do you think about this thing that's like, just always say nice to see you, regardless of whether you've met them or not?
I see through it, but I get it. You know what I do is I try to be as genuine as possible in these interactions where I go like, someone says, hey, Natalie, whatever. And I'll be like, oh, my God, wait, how do we know each other? And I will try to do that. And if it's not too embarrassing, usually it's like we met 6 years ago. And I'm like, that's passable. Right. That I like don't immediately know who you are. I know that I know you, but I don't know who you are, I think. But I don't, the like, nice to see you, when I've gotten it, I'm like, you don't remember me.
The trick doesn't actually
work. It doesn't
work.
No.
It feels like.
Unless I know that they know who I am and they're like, it's nice to see you again.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Then that's different.
Exactly.
But the like celebrity, like nice to see you in case I've met you before. It's thinly veiled at this point.
It's just a real failed attempt at gaslighting.
Yes.
I think.
I would rather someone's like, that's not true. There are some people that I've met over and over and over again, and they don't remember me, and I'm like, fuck you. I am not that forgettable. I am pretty memorable, especially if I've sat next to you
all night at a wedding, and then 6 months later we did New Year's Eve together, and like, I've met you 10 times by this point, you don't remember me? Go fuck yourself. What power play is this? So that's not true. I do get mad sometimes when people don't remember me, but it has to be like absurd that they don't remember me.
Now you're being, this is deliberate.
Exactly. It's either deliberate or you're so self-centered.
Right. Like, you don't recognize anyone. You literally can't
see outside of yourself, because come on.
Yeah, that's I'm fully on board with that. But the nice to see you thing, I think we've got to cut it out.
I agree.
Thought it was this neat little trick. It's not.
Yeah, it's not.
It's ridiculous.
We all know it.
Okay, well, I've got my spinny ball. I have my dark chocolate
pistols.
Is it pistoles? Is it pistoles? Nobody knows.
Listen, I'll tell you the truth. That's been sitting on my kitchen counter since January.
That's not that long.
Right.
For me, because...
It's not that long. No, it's not that long. I wouldn't give you something completely rotten. I've passed by it every single morning and gone, dark hot chocolate pistols. Like, in my head, I just read it. And today, when I was deciding what to bring you, I'm like, I know exactly the thing.
Was there ever a temptation?
Maybe it brings him the joy to have the dark hot chocolate pistols, or just to read it every morning. It's delightful.
Your life's going to fall apart without it now.
Yeah, I'll find something else.
Cornerstone of your personality.
Isn't it fun to say?
Dark hot chocolate pistols. This is the problem. It should be hot dark chocolate.
I agree.
It took me a while to figure that out.
It's very confusing.
Dark,
packaging
hot.
Is weird. Everything about it makes me read it over and over and over again and go, did I get that wrong?
I mean, I guess it is hot chocolate, not...
but you wouldn't
no
say milk hot chocolate.
Yeah, I feel like there's absolutely no... There's no,
right,
no winning here. Yeah, I guess you just come up with a whole new word, mm-hmm. like scalding chocolate. I don't know.
Dark hot chocolate pistols.
Well, those are now going to sit in my cupboard for probably years.
You don't throw away all the gifts you get immediately?
Natalie, I have thrown away one thing.
Really?
We have done like 100,000 episodes.
Oh my God.
I'm not a hoarder, but I feel kind of bad.
You must have gotten some rotten, horrible things.
I've gotten some crappy things. Mm-hmm. I've gotten one piece of garbage. That's what was thrown away. Mm-hmm. I have gotten edible things, which were eaten.
Okay.
I've gotten useful things, which are being used. And then everything else is... I have two shelves just down in my office here.
So these will go there.
They might. Full of things.
You're
like,
welcome to throw these away. I won't feel bad at all.
They're not going to be thrown away.
Okay, good.
I'm thinking about doing live shows where I'll start to give them away and just like pushing it off on
other
people.
Yes, that's a good idea.
I've got to find an excuse to get rid of them.
That's a great idea.
It's not sustainable.
No. And probably also not sustainable. Like, they're probably going to expire some
right,
of the things
exactly.
you've gotten. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to find a way to get rid of them. But for now, it's just my home looks confusing. A lot of my home is like, why does he have like a volleyball next to... box of candy or whatever on a shelf.
Yeah.
It's like, why? That should be put away.
Right.
But we'll see what happens. I mean, I can't do anything, and I still have food in my cupboard from 2020.
Yeah.
I've got some, I saw some in there.
May I use this sphere for just a second? I just want to see if there was something missing about it. It was like I was sort of doing it with my thumb, but I don't know.
What would be missing from that ball?
You kind of just like have to switch places of a few of them, I think. To really make it work so that they all snap into place. You just kind of keep doing that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, all right. So now you're doing it correctly, because the way I was doing it before, and I wasn't going to say this on the podcast, was hurting my finger.
Yeah, no, you just kind of stick your thumb in there.
Okay.
And then like move them around.
Yeah, I felt a sharp edge.
That's what I wanted to look at, because I was like, I feel like he's not going to use this if he doesn't know how. Not that you need to use it. And I think,
by the way,
I think that the game is matching the colors to the...
Oh, so it's a game,
if
too.
You want it to be.
So now I just...
If you want it to be.
I don't know how to use this now.
Just stick your thumb in the push one with your thumb.
And then push to the side?
Push it to an open hole.
Okay, I'm pushing. The listeners loving this learning situation. Okay.
There we go. Yeah, so you can
a learning curve.
Yes, you can play that game if you want to, of matching the balls to the colors.
Okay. My finger's going to get caught in here eventually.
You don't have to keep doing
on
it.
My way to
you
the
can
ER.
You can throw that away or give it away. There's a school I hear around the corner.
There is a school.
You can leave it there. Someone will take
this
it.
This man standing outside the fence.
Does anybody want this?
I've got a toy.
Fidget toy.
For one special boy or girl. That's when
some
I'm
celery.
Evicted from
anybody
the neighborhood.
Anybody want some celery?
Okay. I think it's time to play a game.
Okay.
We're going to play Annalise Giftmaster. I'm trying to get better at doing every other time, to be fair to the game.
Okay.
And so people don't get tired of whatever's happening on the podcast. Okay, I'll tell you the rules in a moment.
Sure.
But I need a number between 1 and 10.
Before telling me the rules, okay.
Yes.
I'll say 8.
Okay, I'm going to do some light calculating right now to get our game pieces. You can recommend something, promote something, talk to the listener, do whatever
you
want.
Oh, while I do
this. Yeah.
June 23rd, a movie called No Hard Feelings comes out, in which I star opposite Jennifer Lawrence. It's a big Sony movie. It'll be in movie theaters, and I think you'll enjoy it. It is a comedy. And you can follow me on TikTok or on Instagram at Natalie Morales Loves.
Perfect.
It used to be Natalie Morales Loves Free Stuff, much like your podcast.
That's where the idea for this podcast came from.
Yeah, but then I felt like
stolen
it
IP.
Felt materialistic, and then I had to change it. And then
right.
Natalie Morales was taken. So I was like,
game.
I do love things. So I just.
We all love
yeah.
some sort of thing.
Yeah.
Things a very vague term. It could be
yeah.
non-material things.
Yeah. Natalie Morales loves. I love you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what. I've been waiting to hear it
okay.
for the last 45 minutes.
There you go.
Begging.
That's my real gift to you.
Absolutely begging. Okay, this is how we play Giftmaster.
Okay.
I'm going to name 3 gifts, things you can give away, experiences, whatever. Then I'm going to name 3 celebrities.
Uh-huh.
You're going to tell me which celebrity you would give which gift.
Gift
and why.
Okay.
That makes perfect sense.
Perfect sense.
Okay, the gifts you're giving today. This first one is from a listener, Sabrina. Sabrina suggested tickets to a home and garden show / exposition.
Okay.
Love an expo. Then number 2 is a functional sink. So a sink that may...
A sink that works.
It works. It's more for the utility than the show.
Okay.
And number 3, a mother's intuition.
Like I would imbue this person with a mother's
mm-hmm.
intuition, or I would give them the knowledge that a mother's intuition would have. Like
they would then have the power of a mother's
okay,
intuition.
Got it. Thank you for
whether
clarifying.
They're a mother or not.
Got it.
Okay. So these are the people. Number 1, Denzel Washington.
Okay.
Number 2, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Okay.
Number 3, James Blunt.
Okay.
James, welcome to the podcast.
Okay. I am going to say, this is a tough one because I see how different people could use different things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know James Blunt that well.
Right.
And I think a functional sink isn't a bad thing. So.
Sure.
Who couldn't use one?
It's kind of like a candle or a.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful.
Right.
I'll give that to him only because like I don't know much about him and it's a fine gift.
I think functional sinks are the new candle. If
sure.
you don't know somebody, if,
sure.
like a coworker that you have to get a gift, show up with a sink.
Yeah,
everyone can use one.
I'm going to say the Home and Gardens Expo for Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh,
because I think it might be a lovely afternoon.
Right,
and I feel like she would enjoy that. She seems every time I've ever seen her in media, she's smiling.
She seems to have a good time.
And she seems to have a good time, and I feel like I want to keep that going for her.
Right, and she might need to like buy. She might be interested in the
some
new
plants.
Developments in home
yeah,
and garden.
Some orchids,
right?
Who knows? Maybe some aphids. and then I would give a mother's intuition to Denzel because I feel like he could use it.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting. I mean, I feel like Denzel already has a lot of intuition, so he may become an unstoppable killing machine. With a mother's intuition.
I think the mother's intuition would balance him out.
Oh, interesting. Kind
yeah.
of just a nice flat.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that was really well done.
Thank you.
I like the thought you put into it. And
I take games maybe more seriously than
Do you get competitive?
I don't get competitive in that, like, I don't get upset when other people win.
Right.
I get competitive in the sense that I'm like, don't fudge the rules of the game. And also, like... A game like apples to apples, or,
uh-huh.
which is the same thing to me as Cards Against Humanity.
Right.
Those don't have real rules. Like it's they're subjective, and
right.
I hate that. So I'm like, oh, if someone wins based on Rando's opinion, no, thank you. Whoever wins has to win based on the rules of the game. So I do like games, and I'm competitive in that. I'm competitive on behalf of. The idea of games, but not
right.
on behalf of myself.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
I mean,
but I do like to win and I am good at all games.
Speaking of games that are largely subjective, listener, you can buy the Giftmaster game online.
Yeah.
It is a very subjective game.
Sure.
Natalie would hate it.
Well, I didn't hate it because I'm the only player and I won. So it's fine.
I think you did an excellent job.
It's less
job.
Of a game and more just
it's a thought,
questions. A thought experiment.
Thought experiment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I can do.
on occasion.
Yeah, I can do this.
Okay, this is the final segment of the podcast.
I will say this. Hold on. Before you move on to that. That if someone else were also playing and you asked them those questions and you picked a winner, I would be pissed.
You'd freak out.
Yeah, I'd be like, that's not a game. That's a dumb game.
It feels like, and then you're like, oh, they just like them more than me.
Yeah, that's exactly what you think. That's exactly what it is. And it's a mean, mean, horrible thing.
But I love a game that stirs up some drama.
I don't need any more drama. Add some friction to social groups. Also, like, because I'm an actor sometimes, I hate games where I have to, like, pretend. Like, what's that game, Mafia or whatever? I'm like, I don't need to do this in my free time.
Because people are, like, now judging your job at the game.
And I also, like, don't care enough. And they're also like, oh, but she's an actor. She's a liar. And I'm like, ugh, this is dumb. This is so dumb. Everybody go to sleep. Everybody wake up. Somebody's dead. I can't deal with it.
People are rescinding their invitations for your parties all over town.
I don't want to go to your parties if they're mafia parties. I don't like the game.
My boyfriend gets so into mafia that I think people become uncomfortable.
It's a profession. It's like if you were like, hey, I constantly want to play Operation with this doctor. Like, it would feel like if you were a doctor, you'd be like, this is so stupid and not at all how it works. And I hate doing this every day. Why are we having massive parties to play Operation? You know?
I would love an Operation party. Everybody gather around this foot-long board.
To me, a Twister party? Ooh, sexy?
Yeah,
fun?
Of course. That feels very 70s, very orgy adjacent.
Great.
Where are we?
Sorry, you were going to say the last part of it.
I liked talking about games for a minute. We need to talk about, you know, games.
Yes, I love games.
People's feelings. This is the final segment of the podcast.
Okay.
It's called I Said No Emails.
Okay.
People write into isaidnogifts@gmail.com. They have questions. They have problems. My listeners are trying their very best at life. Sometimes they're not quite getting the ball in the net.
Okay.
So we have to help them.
I'm good at advice.
Okay, then will you help me answer a question here?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Okay. This says, dear Bridger and lovely guest. That's very nice.
They didn't know it was me. It was not specific, I guess.
Yeah, this is kind of a nice to see you situation. Okay, this person sucks. Okay, so it says, I'm hoping you can help me with a gift-giving problem. My two roommates and I have lived together for 3 years. Our lease is coming to a close, and we will be moving out. One roommate was lovely, clean, always on top of chores, and very nice and polite. Okay, where's the turn? The other roommate, however, was terrible. She never did chores, left open food in her room for months, attracting bugs, had people over without telling us beforehand, and one time had a bad drug trip resulting in her freaking out and tearing apart the whole apartment in the early hours. Maybe a PCP problem.
Hmm.
We don't know what sort of drug they were doing. We were left to call her parents for help and clean up the apartment. Oh my God. Now, here's another turn. I love both of these people as friends. Do I need to get these? You have just, on this podcast, absolutely laid bare how horrible this person is.
Okay, okay.
But let's keep going. Do I need to get these people a parting gift? If so, what? Thank you so much for your needed help. Sarah in Arizona.
Sarah.
Sarah doesn't quite know what a friend is. I think that's the beginning of the problem.
Sure. But I think Sarah's a loving person. And here's what I'm going to say to Sarah. This is my advice, Bridger. I say, if you don't want to get them gifts, you don't need to get them anything.
Okay.
They're probably not going to get you anything. But why not cook them a nice dinner as a last meal in your apartment and have that be your gift. And all three of you can share in it. And then no one needs to feel left out. And no one needs to feel less than. And it's a nice moment before you move out.
That is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And it sounds like there's a lot of just leftover food in one of these rooms that could easily be turned into a kitchen
Maybe
sink situation.
Maybe don't use that food. Yeah.
I don't know. We don't quite know what expiration dates or bugs do.
Not to take the advice giving away from you. That was just what popped into my head.
I like that idea. I mean, for me, going through this email... The beginning
I
of
had twists and turns as well.
The twists, the turns. I feel like Sarah's a complete phony. I don't think either of these people are friends. I think Sarah's very alone.
Aww.
Because Sarah is calling you a lovely guest, is friends with this person who went on some sort of freak out and destroyed their apartment, and still calling that person a friend.
Yeah.
Desperate for friends.
Maybe they've made up since then. Maybe there's been some apologies.
Well.
And who among us isn't desperate for friends?
That's very true. I'm scratching and clawing for every friend I can possibly get. But to me, I mean, in that case, then Sarah's a bad emailer because Sarah did not present the whole situation. So to me, I'm saying, Sarah, those people are out of your life. Now focus on one person who actually knows you intimately. Just start with one adult friend. who you're not writing nasty emails about, who you're not saying nice to see you on your first meeting, who you're really looking into their soul. Mm-hmm. Forget those friends. They're good as dead. And I feel like those are both options.
Yeah, those are two equally good responses to her question.
Yeah, I mean, she can go down. Now she gets to choose a path and see where her life goes.
Yeah.
Mine, her life will become very fruitful and vibrant. Yours, we don't know.
How long ago did Sarah write this email?
That's a good question.
Because maybe she already moved out.
That's a very good question. Yeah, you know, a lot of emails come in, and so this could have been 2014 at this point. But Sarah, if you're still alive, you have your answer.
Yes, you have your answer. Bridger, can I tell you something?
Yes.
The more I look at you, the more I think we have worked together before, and I do know you.
Wait, we've met each other? Where could we possibly?
I don't know. Maybe it's just that I've known you for an hour, but like you look really familiar now.
Wow, I wonder if we should go through everything we've done.
Yeah, should we
look at our IMDb's? Just the listener will love a list of each person's credits.
Well, it'll tell us if we work together immediately, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's probably true. Well,
we could do it later.
We're doing this off the podcast. Yeah. I mean, and the crying can happen off the audio. I will sob.
Yeah,
I feel like
no.
I feel like you're wrong.
Your name didn't sound familiar when I first heard about it.
And my name's out of control.
It's very memorable.
It's too much.
Yeah. Can I say I'm glad it's not pronounced vinegar.
Me too.
Yeah.
Vinegar. I mean, but I'm constantly getting
called
vinegar.
That. Yeah, you're constantly calling.
I mean,
that.
One of my agents.
But it feels good to correct them.
Says vinegar, and I don't know how to correct a person, and like 8 years into a relationship.
Yeah.
So I guess it'll just
you invite them to something, and then you introduce yourself loudly. Will you please come to my show? And then you go, hi, I'm Bridger Weiniger. In case anybody was wondering, it's Weiniger. Like wine? Yeah, like that.
Okay, I'll start the EV take.
I have all sorts of advice, clearly.
You have so much advice. Yeah. We should start an advice podcast or an advice column. That would be a nice throwback.
I've been
doing
advice on my TikToks, actually.
Oh, there
yes,
you go.
Yes.
That's probably the more important thing at this point.
TikTok?
People are, let's be honest, more people are on TikTok.
I enjoy it. I gotta say,
I've got to get on TikTok.
You do. You'd be successful, I think.
There's certainly no way I'm going to present myself on TikTok, but I would look at things.
You can lurk.
Okay, I might lurk.
Yeah, lurk.
Just do a little lurking.
You're under no obligation to post anything. You just, you know, see what the algorithm.
I've popped in a couple of times, and it almost got me. Almost got its hooks in me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All right.
Well, I have my dark hot chocolate pistols. I have my ball, which. It's going to be a little, there's going to be some lessons to be learned with this thing.
Maybe.
we'll see if I become an expert or not. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be one of those things that just never clicks for me.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Some things
never
don't work out.
Clicks for you?
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
You know, because the ball clicks.
Yeah, of course.
I just wanted to make sure that your listeners saw what my eyebrows were doing through my voice.
Yeah. Yes. Listener clicks. Yeah. Clicks. Mm-hmm, clicks. Mm-hmm. Natalie, I've had a wonderful time with
you. Likewise.
And the listeners learned so much.
Yeah. I'll climb off my high horse now that I'm off this podcast. I don't know anything. I'll just say that.
We began with blue-red, and now here we are.
Yeah.
So many lessons learned. This is kind of this podcast is a service, ultimately.
I agree.
It's an education. And if you get more out of it, great. If you get less out of it,
great.
One-star reviews, call me whatever you want.
Yeah.
Attack, attack, attack. You've got to destroy me. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Listener, wow, we made it to the end. We've always got to start the podcast and then get to the end. And today we did it again. We keep doing it. You knew it was coming. So again, go off on your day. Do whatever you want. I'm giving you that power right now. Please stop listening to the podcast. I love you. Goodbye. I Said No Gifts is an Exactly Right production. It's produced by our dear friend Annalise Nilsson, and it's beautifully mixed by Liana Squillaci. And we couldn't do it without our guest booker, Patrick Kottner. The theme song, of course, could only come from miracle worker Amy Mann. You must follow the show on Instagram at I Said No Gifts. I don't want to hear any excuses. That's where you get to see pictures of all these gorgeous gifts I'm getting. And don't you want to see pictures of the gifts?
But I invited you here. Thought I made myself perfectly clear. when you're a guest in my home. You gotta come to me empty-handed. I said no gifts, your presence is present enough. And I already had too much stuff. So how do you dare disobey?
Follow I Said No Gifts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I really don't care. Just don't miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, rate and review the show. It's the least you can do. It really is. It's the bare minimum. Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase I Said No Gifts merch. What a wonderful way to support the show. Support the show!